May we pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to worship you today. Dear Lord, thank you for the reading of your Holy Scriptures and your Holy Gospel. Lord, we thank you for quiet time to contemplate, to hear your Spirit move through the words of the Scripture. Dear Lord, as always, I pray that the words that I speak may help communicate this gospel today and these scriptures in a way that honors you and glorifies you and is what you want. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in 1 Corinthians 9:22, from our second reading today, Paul says, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. And, you know, when you first hear that, you might think, well, wow, you know, what happens to the truth when you do that, right? If you become all things to all people, does the truth get, you know, watered down or, you know, it becomes not the truth? Or what, you know, what do you have to do that? But Paul makes clear at the beginning of this passage in 9:19, he says, though I am free and belong to no one. In other words, I'm going to speak the truth regardless of what people want to hear, right? I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Another way to say that is, though he's free to speak the truth, and he's going to do that, we know Paul, right? Yet he's bound to use the gifts God's given him to share Jesus with others. And it's important to remember, because Paul's a hard person for many of us to relate to, because his, you know, giftedness in the Spirit is, you know, he's an apostle, he has all the gifts. And that becomes hard to relate to, right? But remember, Paul's writing to a church, a specific church, a church in Corinth, to his congregation, and telling them this, not because he's trying to just celebrate what he's going to do, but because he wants them also to become all things to all people, indeed, that they might save some too. Paul's always writing in, you know, to a congregation, to a body. And that's important for us to remember when we try to think about relating to Paul. This can be done because he was writing it to them, congregation that was just like us. Just happened to be, you know, a very long time ago. In 1 Corinthians 4:16, Paul says this, therefore I urge you to imitate me. In other words, he believes we can do this. He believes Corinth can do this. Be imitators of him in becoming all things to all people, that indeed we might save some. I read this week, as I was researching my sermon, a good way to think about this dilemma of, you know, staying, holding on to the truth, right? While still becoming all things to all people. And it was said that we don't sacrifice the truth, we just proclaim the gospel in a way that people can hear and understand. And I like that. I thought that was really good. You know, in baseball, coaching Finn's team and talking to Finn about, you know, hitting and that kind of thing. One word I often mention is the wheelhouse. And I don't really know exactly what that means, but what it means to me is that when that ball is coming down the plate, right across the plate and right at the perfect level where Finn can swing, you know, naturally, and cracked and hit that ball, base rip, that's hitting in his wheelhouse, right? That's how I define that. That ball is coming in his wheelhouse so he can really hit it and really knock it. And I think that's a good way to think about what we're trying to do in sharing the good news. We're trying to put that story in somebody's wheelhouse so that they can understand it and crank it and hit it and, you know, let God do what God wants to do with it. In the summer of 97, I served a little church in North Carolina, and I lived at an orchard in this little town in North Carolina, Candor, North Carolina. And when I was there, the people, I stayed at the orchard, the people had a washer, but they didn't have a dryer. They would hang their clothes on the clothesline to dry it. And so I would wash my clothes, and then I would take them outside and hang them up with the clothespins on the line. And I really liked how the clothes smelled. I liked how they felt. It's a memory I think I'll always have. You know, I never do that anymore, of course. They go in the dryer now. But I'll never forget that, and I've always liked that. But every once in a while at home, because towels, for example, get so wet, they make everything else take a long time to dry. Sometimes I hang those up in places, let them dry like that. Well, Sarah's not too happy about that when I do that, because that makes them rough, right? Makes them rough and stiff and hard and things you don't want a towel to be. And so I just do it with my towels, you know, now and then. But I got to thinking, you know, that's a good metaphor for sharing the good news. Because if I'm going to present the good news to Sarah, it better not be this, you know, rough towel, right? In other words, whether you use a drying machine or whether you use the line to dry it, they both get dry. So the truth is maintained, right? But it's how it's presented that matters. For Sarah, it's going to have to be something different than the hard, stiff towel, right? It's going to need to be something soft. And so I think that can be a good metaphor for thinking about sharing the good news with others. It's going to be different for every person, what their wheelhouse is. And we got to know that person, right, in order to be able to present that story powerfully. Does it mean we can't share with those we don't know? We certainly can, and I think God wants us to. But I think that's what Paul is talking about here today. Becoming all things to all people. You've got to know at least a little bit about them to know, you know, what their wheelhouse might be. You know, Paul really does practice what he preaches. And I got to thinking about Paul and his life. And he really does become all things to all people because he's on so many different sides of positions that are usually opposed to one another. For example, he was a tent maker, right? That was the job that he did while he traveled around to make money to keep preaching. And then he was, of course, a Pharisee, which is the highest of the highest in the Jewish religion. He was blue collar, and yet he was white collar. He knew the Bible maybe better than Hebrew Bible, better than maybe anybody in his, you know, lifetime. That could be argued, right? And we could make a good case for that. And yet, at first, he missed seeing Jesus in those scriptures. He was obviously fluent in Hebrew, biblical Hebrew, and yet he wrote in Greek to Gentile churches like these. He also spoke Aramaic, which was kind of the common tongue of what Jews would speak. So you had biblical Hebrew, right, that you would read in the Bible and at church at the synagogue. But when you spoke to each other, it would often be in Aramaic if you were Jewish at this time. And so he could do that too. I want to share this scripture with you that helps demonstrate the wheelhouse here. This is from Acts 22, and Paul is being arrested. And they don't really know who Paul is, the crowd. And he is sharing with them. And it says this, this is in 22:1. After receiving the commander's permission, Paul stood on the steps and motioned to the crowd. When they were all silent, he said to them in Aramaic, "Brothers and sisters, listen now to my defense." And when they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. And you know why they did that, of course, was they were like, oh, he's a Jew. And he knows our language, right? And so Paul specifically chose to speak to them in Aramaic, the crowd, so that he could speak to the Jews in the crowd. That's knowing, right, the wheelhouse of your audience, your listeners. And so we see Paul do that very powerfully and subtly there. And that's why they get quiet to listen. They're dialed in. Paul was zealous for the traditions of his fathers, and yet we know he was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was a Jew, yet he was a Roman citizen. He burned churches, and then he planted them. He was incredibly successful at missionary activity and spreading the church, and yet he failed sometimes. Some places he went was a shut door, and not much happened. So he succeeded, and he failed. He jailed Christians, and then later on he became a jailed Jewish Christian. He says of himself about the law that he's blameless. And yet all he does is talk about the grace of Jesus Christ, and that being a path to salvation. And so Paul really does practice what he preaches. He is really all things to all people. And that's why he says in the second reading there, to the Jew, I am a Jew. To those on the outside, I'm on the outside. You know, he references all of those things in his life, and he becomes that for the person, again, not to compromise the truth, but to let them know that they're included in this story of Jesus Christ and salvation too. You know, when you think about the word politics, probably one thing that comes to mind is division, because there is a lot of division in politics today. I guess maybe at some level there always has been, because it's part of kind of what it is. But there seems, you know, to be a lot of division. But one thing that I see that I've always been impressed by in politicians is that, for example, sometimes after a really tough primary, a presidential primary, whoever wins the primary obviously becomes the candidate. And then if that candidate wins the election and becomes the president of the United States, and I've seen this happen many times in both parties over the years, they'll select a number of people that they had bitter debates with in the primary to be their vice president or to be their secretary of state, something like that. And so I think, you know, politicians have a way of showing us in this example and other ways too, of how to be all things to all people. To remember that despite our differences, we're called to serve. And to let that other stuff, you know, go by the wayside. Certainly Paul had a lot of opponents, right? But he found ways to work with them for the greater good. There was these people called super apostles in his congregations at various times. And they were really good speakers. And some of them, like, said, I identify more with him than I do you, Paul, and, you know, that kind of thing. But Paul, you know, recognized that they were good preachers, continued to work with them, and work through them for the greater cause to serve. You know, if there was a political issue that divided the church or the early church and Jews in the first century, it was circumcision. Because circumcision was the way in which you became, as a male, a member of the tribe of Israel. It was something going back to the Old Testament. When Abraham converted and recognized God and God came to him, he was circumcised, and so was his son, even though they were old. It had been incredibly painful, I'm sure. But they did. And so what happens is, as the church grows, there's all these Gentiles that didn't know anything about the law. And Paul says, hey, you don't need to be circumcised. You know? But there were some Jewish Christians that said they need to be circumcised. And so it was this kind of this big issue, this debate of the time. And so I think it's really cool that even though Paul was the Pharisee of Pharisees, right, that it said he was blameless before the law, and the law talks about circumcision, doing that if you're, you know, of this faith. Despite all that, he tells Gentiles, you don't need to do that. And so Paul really is all things to all people. Paul even found ways to navigate religious pluralism in his day and to still hang on to the truth. He walks through Athens and they have all these statues, you know, one to Athena and one to Zeus and Poseidon, another one to Aphrodite and, you know, any Greek god you can name, they have a statue for him. And then he finds one statue and it says, to an unknown god. And Paul says, hey, gather around. I know who this unknown god is. He's the God of gods. He's the Lord of lords. He's the God of the Hebrews. He's the one you don't know, but let me tell you about him. And so we see how Paul uses what's there, right, to become all things for all people. The Athenians were a religious people. He saw that and he used their own statue as a way to tell them about the story of Jesus. Paul has good company in becoming all things to all people. We see this too in Jesus' life. You know, he meets so many different people in his life and he has conversations with them. And he's always, it seems his goal is always one thing, and that, of course, is to point them to God and to a closer walk and a deeper faith and to the next step with God the Father. And yet he never does it the same way twice, it doesn't seem like, with these people that he meets. And that's because, again, he's presenting it to them, I think, in their wheelhouse. He's presenting it to them as someone who becomes all things to all people. To Nicodemus, the Pharisee, who comes to him at night, he tells him, you need to be born again. To the woman that's caught in adultery, doesn't condemn her. He just says, don't do that anymore. Go your way. I don't condemn you either. But to the Pharisees listening there, he reminds them that they've sinned too and that they need to consider that when they accuse others. At the tomb, after Lazarus dies, he simply weeps. And when the temple is being used for something other than what God would want, turns over the tables. It was never the same response. It was never this, you know, cut mold. He was always doing what he was supposed to do, holding on to the truth, right? His commitment to God, that was his first thing, but always presenting it in a way that what people needed to hear. Sometimes soft and sometimes not so soft. And so I think the call goes forth from Paul today to the church in Corinth, and I think to all of us too, you know, because we're just like a church. We're one of the churches, and Paul's speaking to us to find, through the Holy Spirit, creative ways to proclaim the gospel to others in our lives. And again, like I said in the children's sermon, it's a daunting task for us, especially in a day and age in which we feel like people believe we shouldn't talk about religion, or people believe that you should just keep that to yourself. It's something personal. But, you know, it's not the way that Jesus presents it and Paul presents it. And that continues to be a mission we have, is to share that good news, regardless of whether the culture is necessarily attuned to it or not. But Paul comes with some special advice I think we can hold on to. First, establish relationship, right? And then Become all things to all people. Look for that wheelhouse. Look for that way in which you share some common ground. For me and my friend Brad, that was running. You know, that was just conversations on runs. But we had a lot of time there. Sometimes those were 10-mile runs, and they were, you know, an hour and 10 minutes or something. And we had that time. So find the wheelhouse and share that story. You know, when you think about, you don't think about personally about us saving anyone. And of course, we don't do that. We know that. We know God saves. But he does call us to plant and to water. And then Paul says something really kind of, you know, powerful that I want to leave with you today as we go forth. And that is that he says that he becomes all things to all people, that indeed he might save some. And so you guys and me are being used by God to save others. That's a really cool thing. It's a scary thing, right? It can be a scary thing, but it's a really cool thing. And that's the mission that we have. Become all things to all people that you might save some.